pound or hash. This conference will now be recorded.
Are we on the air now?
No, I got you on low.
Good.
Yes.
Sorry,
please, Cecil.
All right.
Be careful, Linda.
Yeah, I got it.
I got James to do that.
Yeah,
right.
I
can't flip that. Yeah, Miss Owens got that for you. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I want you to set me up for something.
Yeah.
I need all the help I need.
But, yeah.
But they all do it today?
There's two of them. Okay, it's 6:30. Well, I call this meeting to order. My name is Ricky Wiggins. I am the mayor pro tem. Mr. Bass, will not be able to attend tonight. His daughter's in the hospital, so he will not be able to attend. We ask that you think, keep his daughter and his family in your prayers. And at this time, I'd like to say that the city council city council agenda meeting, in accordance with Governor Abbott's declaration of the COVID-19 public health threat and action to temporarily suspend certain provisions of Texas Open Meetings Act, a quorum of the city of Brooksville, City Council will hold its regular city council meeting and workshops by telephonic conference call and open to the public, verified by TML. Council can have in-person meetings. Citizens are encouraged to follow COVID-19 safety measures provided by CDC guidelines. This meeting will be open to the public. However, those that would prefer to join remotely can do so by getting on your computer, tablet, or smartphone and putting in https://global.gotomeeting.com/join/456992373 And you can dial in using your phone at 1-408-650-3123, access code 456-992-373. And please mute your phones and computers to avoid any interference during this meeting. And I have all the council members present, Ms. Owens, Mr. Griffin, my left, Mr. Talbert, and Mr. Fowler. And at this time, let's arrive for the invocation. I'd like to ask Mr. Talbert to say the invocation, and then we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Father God, we come for you tonight with a humble heart, full of thanksgiving for your love, your grace, and your forgiveness. We ask that you lead and guide and direct us about what we may be doing. We know that it's of your understanding, and not ours as much, and to know that we plan our ways, but you got our paths and lives. This body, like all governmental bodies, is a creation of you. May we discard you and given to us as citizens to represent you and to represent them like we wish to be treated, so we therefore we can treat them and disperse equalness and fairness and justice to all. We pray for the mayor's daughter, Kay, that's in the hospital and she's very sick and very ill, that you put your hands on the doctors and give your wisdom and knowledge to help her heal herself. We ask we pray for their family at this time. We ask for your forgiveness before we fall short. In this name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. And as I stated earlier, we have all the council members here. This mayor is not present. And so at this time, we'll have the public hearing on rezoning. And the city of Bruceville, Eddy, will conduct a public hearing on May the 13th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. here in the City Council at Bruceville Eddy City Hall, 143 Wilcox Drive, Eddy, Texas, giving all interested persons the right to appear and be heard regarding the following items with introduction by staff and their applicant. Ordinance number 2021-05-13 from public hearing number 1, an ordinance changing the zoning of property described as 14.397 acres of the Levi Pruitt survey, abstract number 723, and being part of a 9-acre tract of land described as tract 1 and D 201901-6883, more particularly described by McLean County Central Appraisal District as parcel number on 4th Street, Eddy, Texas, 76524. Zoning agricultural, amending the official zoning map of the city of Bruceville, Eddy, Texas, to show the zoning change as adopted herein. And what we want to do is change that from agriculture to general business. And general business, for y'all to know, is defined as a district that allows all retail and most commercial land uses, including auto dealerships with complete servicing facilities, building material sales, light manufacturing, and heavy machinery sales and storage. So that's a big broad range of things that could go there. Do we have anyone that would like to comment? Yes, sir, could you please stand up and state your name?
John Coleman.
Well, Mr. Coleman, where do you live at without it?
My father's place is 320 Franklin Road, which passes class.
Oh, yes, sir, okay.
And I believe that track that you're talking about that they're doing backs up in the back of my property.
Yes, sir, it does.
And I used to live here years ago. We lived back here in the temple, and we got away from the north side of the temple to have peace and quiet and to get away from the criminal activity that was getting worse and worse in that part of the town, as it is in a lot of places. We like what we have. We do not wish to have any type of commercial activity back there, period. I don't think that it's conducive to the people that live around there. I believe that it will cause crime here and rise in one form or another if anything comes from there. There's a lot of commercial places. It'll be noisy, it'll be troublesome, and I just don't want that there where I live. I don't want next to this area. There's a further out of town that's like, or out there on the main roads. I don't believe in any of those roads are made for the traffic that would increase on top of it. So I'm asking you all to please turn down this. I will do everything I have to do by
Judy Calvert.
I don't think this should be forced upon us, and I don't think it's right as well. So they can take their businesses and move it in a better place instead of in the middle of a neighborhood which is nice and peaceful and calm and quiet, and we don't have any problems.
Yes, sir.
Also, we'd kind of like to have a better idea what their real idea is.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. They do have a plan, and that's my fault. I should have read that to you. Let me, and thank you, sir, and this, let me read this here. And this is from Mr. Charleston. That's who owns the land there. And I'm going to read you his letter to the council. He says, I'm requesting rezoning of the 14-acre property at 613 4th Street, Eddy, Texas, 76524, from agricultural to commercial zoning. We purchased this property in March 2020 and would like to put an activity center and park for the community. This activity center would bring revenue to the community as far as having a gym, activity rooms, and play park. This area does have a park or activity center for summer camps or sports activities outside of the school. The area of the property and building would not cause any disturbance to surrounding neighbors because of the size of the building and land structure. We would ensure that no loud noises would be disturbing to the neighbors. The building would be soundproof and the park would close at dusk. This would be an activity center where the community could have sport activities, weddings, proms, summer camps, and other activities. The building will have an indoor gym, office space, and ballrooms for rent. The landscape of the property would have several areas for family activities to hold family gatherings and outdoor sport events. So that's their plan, what they're wanting to do with this property. Let's see if Mr. Could you please mute your phone?
Yeah.
Or computer? Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Krause, we have a man speaking right now.
I apologize. I'll wait my turn.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Coleman.
Anyway, I would like to see if they can furnish at least a plaque showing the building size and everything that they're talking about, and the type of area that would take for parking and all. But I still am against it from that point.
Okay. We thank you for your time, sir. Your comments.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Mr. Kraus, do you have something?
Yes, sir. I have a comment. I believe that I have property adjacent to this one. I think that the proposed use for this property is absolutely fantastic, and we're all for it. However, a blind rezone to a commercial would allow for the owner to change their mind at a later date, or a future owner to use it as something else. So I would like to see a condition put into place that would limit the use to the proposed use, if at all possible. And if we're to move forward with the proposed plan, that would be, if something like that were in place, I think that would just be fantastic and would prevent any misunderstandings later on.
Yes, sir. Mr. Kraus, this were, most people don't know you, that you purchased the land there, and that's the land that you plan on developing. Is that correct?
The land adjacent, correct.
Adjacent,
that's correct. Yeah.
So you don't actually live there, right?
No, I don't, but I'm selling lots to people that will live there, and I would like to watch out for the interest of the future residents of that property.
Okay, all right. So, okay, we thank you for your time, Mr. Kraus.
Yes, sir.
This is public comment.
My name is Charlie Cooper.
Yes.
Question, is that land for sale?
What land? This land, this 14 acres, no ma'am, I don't believe it's for sale. They're trying to rezone it and then trying to build this activity center and stuff on it.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Please, Mullis, 724 Street.
What's your name, sir?
Mullis.
Mullis, okay.
Mullis.
All right.
I've got objections to anything business related going in that area. It's all widening and residential, quiet, and I just think that any type of business, whether it's people like it's disposing or not, it's going to bring in more traffic, it's going to bring in more noise, and there's some things, the right thing to do in that neighborhood with the residential area. And I also believe that it wants to bring down the property down to the residents. Third, infrastructure, that road over there on 4th Street is just like that. They're going to take the competitive road right now and getting it up to date before they start bringing in trucks and all this stuff. So that's my objection, and I strongly hope that you will see that because I have no commercial with it. Besides that, we don't know whether or not, as it was said before, if he simply changed his mind once it's rezoned and settled somewhere else.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Would you please stand up and state your name, where you live?
Yeah, I'm Daniel Petrus. I'm live at 509 4th Street on Temple Street. I'm against it. It's a quiet neighborhood where I live at. It's the neighbors. The street, I mean, if it does go through, it'll be going right past kitchen.
All
right. Yes, sir. They do open it there. Because that Temple Street is a fence. And I'm right here, and I just won't like it at all.
I think it goes between your house and Mr. Scott's house to get in there.
Yeah,
Mr. Scott's wants to live.
Scott?
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's how she gets there. Actually, it doesn't come all the way out to 4th Street and drop some people.
Yeah,
I got you.
That's correct.
Yes.
And I'm just worried about that. That the traffic goes through there, and I just don't think it's a good idea.
PETRU.
PETRU.
Okay, thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. In front row.
Sherman.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Franklin. Franklin is. I find the ones of us here that are against it because I like to sit on my patio and enjoy watching the birds and stuff. And I just
don't think that we need to have a person that's
going on back there. We need it to be peace and quiet.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Jamie Wallace, 724th Street.
Okay.
I still have concerns about the eight blocks that are up the street there.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else have any comments? Yes, sir, Mr. Coleman.
I'd just like to say that the result that I feel about this, I drove 200 miles from my job lady just up here on top of this meeting. There's a bunch of reasons to me to make sure that it stays like it is. And I'll use every legal remedy at my disposal to work against me to see if there's a dump in this.
I understand, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Go, she don't see me. Okay. Okay.
Be
right there. That's what you tell her.
Okay, if there's not any other comments, then we can close this public hearing. Okay. And we'll close this public hearing at 6:49. And we'll have the council to discuss this item. Anybody?
Me personally, I would like, as you said before, they're talking about weddings and stuff like that. Well, to me, that could bring in celebrations. Other than just sodas or tea or thing, it could bring alcohol beverages in to a city, to a meeting or to an activity center. As a resident in Bruceletti, I'm not for it, but it's, you know, it's up to the council. We'll all discuss all that. But I don't see. To me, I don't think activity center would be good over there in a quiet residential area.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Mr. Talbert?
Yes. Like I said, actually, the land is behind 4th Street, but you have to get just access off of 4th Street. I know exactly where it is. I live out on front of the west. But all of that's on residential and single houses. I think what they want to do is a good idea, but that's not where it needs to go. That's my opinion, and it's nothing against these people. I think it's a good idea what you're talking about, but that's not the place for it. Residential housing, single family dwelling. So I'm not for that. Where are you? I'm for the business, but not there.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would like to say that, you know, with this land in a residential area, and with them stating about having outdoor sporting events, summer camps, park area, that's lots of noise. I wouldn't want it next to me. In addition to the lighting that will be around there, that will be lit up at night, and then the traffic going in and out, as Ms. Mullis stated about the property next to it being divided in 8 different parcels, you're going to have more people coming in and out there, and that don't mean that it's just going to be one vehicle per 8 lots, you know. So I agree with Mr. Talbert that it's a good idea, but not at that location. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I believe just the broadness of the general business designation is an automatic no. To me, it's just way too broad. You could have opened the gate for many things that just don't go on in the residential area. I do think it'd be a great thing for the city to have an event center like this, but I just don't think we can fairly ask the neighborhood to accommodate. So I would just say it's just way too broad, and don't think that, I mean, I don't think there'd be any chance at all that people would say that own property around here now, if they had such a business there before they purchased that property, if they would have wanted to buy that property, you know. So anyway, I'm no one.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the floor? Yes, sir, Mr. Talk, go ahead.
This is Mr. Crouch, he's being, and I don't know if he's spoken me to say, but I'm going to say what he developed the property, he joined it. Maybe if she decides she don't want to do this, maybe he'll buy it from her and she'll take it for somewhere else. You know, so, just a thought.
Right.
Okay.
Do we have
a... May I
also make the motion.
Okay.
Do we deny the rezon?
Okay. Mr. Talbert has made a motion to deny the rezoning, and seconded by Ms. Owens. So a motion on the floor to deny the rezoning of the property from agricultural to commercial, and seconded. Do all in favor? And I do get a vote. Yes. Yeah. So motion carried. 5-4 for not letting it be resolved. Put it that way. Thank y'all, all of y'all, for coming and speaking up. That's what it takes.
Yeah.
Is people speaking up and letting the council know how y'all feel. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, you bet.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Do we live here too?
Now, item number 3 is our police report by our chief, Mr. Darcy. And go ahead, sir.
I do have our report for the month of April. We had a 10-10 calls for service, and a total of 10-10, total of 9 crashes for the month. Citations in morning were 217, which is 67 citations, 117 warnings. I am still working on the update ordinance.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And also on item 3A, about the council to discuss, consider, possibly take action on lowering the speed limit on Soul Circle from 30 mile hour to 20 to 25 mile hour, perhaps putting in speed bumps. Mr. Jerry Davis requested to present this item to the council. Is Mr. Davis here? Yes, sir.
Well, we do have a sign that's out there that your chief of police is saying it does change the section of yellow sign. Well, this yellow sign is actually put up by the county. And I've already talked to Precinct 2 County. Precinct 2 even says, and there is actually all these yellow signs as a speed limit. That is supposed to be the speed limit in that area. Now, Precinct 1 says they've just done it out of courtesy for Kathy Brown, who had passed away, that actually lived there. And she was the one that had everything put up because people then, just like now, they think it can be 55 miles an hour, 75 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. Well, I mean, people know or been around this whole circle. It's not that big. It's like a racetrack.
Yes.
It is actually almost the size, a little bit smaller than a racetrack. And that's what they use this road for, is the racetrack.
Yes, sir. What is that yellow sign you said? You didn't say what it says. Yes, sir? What is this?
Because what it is, on County Road itself, they put these yellow signs up.
Is this a county road or city road?
No, this is actually a city road. I'm just saying when they call it county road, all they put is a sign that says slow play. But now, it's in the park area, and they put these up, it's actually supposed to be enforced for the speed limit.
What's the speed limit today?
20 miles an hour.
Okay. But the county actually put that up, and maybe at the time they put it up, that road was in the county.
Correct.
Okay, but now it's in the city.
City, correct. But the thing is, once that sign has been put up, from my understanding, everybody I've talked to, even the parallel legal for the attorney, has even said, especially with a lot of kids out there, that this sign does stand.
It shows slow 20 mile an hour, and that's on Soul Circle, that's right.
Now, if you go on the county road, anywhere on the county road, there's a lot of kids. Because they got residential, you know, but it's on the county road, that will not have a speed sign on it with it. All they'll say is slow play.
Okay.
So because they come on the county road, they can't put the speed on it. But in a small park area, once that has been put, that's actually supposed to be the speed limit, and everybody in Soul Circle is there, more than except the one that thinks it's 85. Mile an hour speed zone.
Yes, sir.
Has always represented it as 20 miles an hour.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Dorsey, what would you comment on this, please, sir?
Sure. I've done some research on the transportation code, and I've talked to my colleague to get some more information. And the yellow sign, the one that Mr. Davis is talking about, is an advisory sign. That's how it's listed in the Texas Transportation Code. And I mean, it's a suggested speed limit. It's not one that we as law enforcement can legally enforce. It has to be a white sign with the black letters that say speed limit. That is a legal sign that we can enforce. And you know, when we're out there enforcing the speed limit, I want to make sure that when we're making the stop and we're enforcing the speed limit, that we're doing it the legal way, so that way if we issue a citation, you know, it'll hold up in court and not just get dismissed.
Yes.
So what do we do to the sign?
But I read Mr. Wiggins brought to my attention that there is a city ordinance that was adopted back in 2017 for all residential streets to have the speed limit of 25. I was not aware of that, but
After reading further into the Texas Transportation Code, it does say that city council does have the authority if the speed limit is higher than 20, or 25, if it's higher than 25, they can lower it down to 25 if they determine that the higher speed limit is unreasonable or unsafe. But then it furthermore says that there are supposed to be posted speed limit signs once the speed limit's lowered. There are some regulations in the Transportation Code that says that the governing body erects signs giving notice of the new speed limit and at all times or at other times as determined. So with that ordinance, I reached out to our city judge and he referred me to our prosecutor. He was busy today, but I sent him an email and he messaged me back and said that we would speak tomorrow on this issue. But with all of the roads being 25, I'm not sure if the blanket ordinance is something that we can enforce legally. The ordinance may have to be rewritten that specifies what roads are 25, or we may in fact have to have speed limit signs.
On all of them.
On all of them.
Yes.
Because the way the Texas Transportation Code, section 545.352, is prima facie speed limit. And when there isn't a posted speed limit sign, the speed limit in an urban district or residential district 30. Is 30.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been doing right now is any residential area that doesn't have a posted speed limit, we're enforcing it as 30. Because I believe that the Texas law would trump, you know, because we're not a, a home law. Or
we're general law city.
We're not a home or
home rule.
No, home rule. If we're not a home rule, then I believe the Texas, you know, whatever set out in the Transportation Code would be what we have our laws
and even though we've lowered it, our ordinance, we've lowered it to all residential streets to 25.
I'm going to check on that.
You have to have the signs posted. Right. And lower it to 25.
If the signs are posted,
I'm not sure about that's not what the ordinance says. That's what he says. Texas law says.
But the ordinance, if the signs are posted, ordinance is in there, I just need to verify that it's something that we can legally enforce. To make sure that we're covered, because if we write citations that aren't enforceable,
as city council, can we not make a vote and put a sign out there?
Yes.
As a speed limit?
Yes.
I'm 110% agreement that Soul Circle needs to be 25.
And it needs a sign.
And, you know, I was, from driving around, you know, every day driving around out there, I think at the entrance, so, you know, it has a straightaway entrance, and then it tees off into the circle. Well, I think in the straightaway, we need to have a sign that's double-sided for traffic, you know, both ways, and then one sign on either side of the circle that has a sign posted on either side of the pole, you know, letting people know what the speed limit is.
Okay.
25, do you?
25 would actually be okay, but the only thing we're going to ask on the 25, because I know how some people think it's like on the highway, they think they got that extra 5 miles an hour. The only thing I'm asking is, we go 25 miles an hour, we would like to have the bottom of that sign say maximum, so that way they know 26, 27, 28, anything above 25, they get a ticket.
Well, okay. I don't believe you have to. I believe that sign states for itself. If speed limit's 25, if you're going 26, they could give you a citation. I don't believe it would have to say maximum, but I understand what you're saying to further enhance it. Mr. Tolliver?
Read that again about the Texas law. In the ordinance of the city, if you lower it to 25, well, ordinance, and if the signs are not posted, it's not legal. Is that not what you said? If the state law would overrun Trump that, if it's not posted, you go back to 30.
I thought you said that you was going to have to get with the man tomorrow, and he was going...
I'm going to speak to the municipal prosecutor.
Right.
Because he'll know all the municipal laws.
And so he'll let you know about that.
But isn't that what you read?
Yes, sir. I mean, it does say in here the governing body of municipality with a population in 2011 may declare lower sea limits. And it goes on to say the governing body determines that the prima facie sea limit on the highway is unreasonable or unsafe. And it says further down, if the prima facie sea limit that is altered by the governing body of a municipality under subsection B, B1, or B3 is effective when the governing body erects signs giving notice of the new limit, and at all times or at other times as determined.
But you said we could just limit it to certain places when we so decide.
Right.
We both.
Mm-hmm. Then we might have to change it. Okay.
I just want to make a motion.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm going to make a motion that we put a put a speed limit sign out on Soul Circle to 25 miles per hour, and by what Chief Dorsey said, put them on both sides where it can be seen going and coming.
Double sided.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor by Ms. Owens to put a 25 mile hour speed limit sign, a double sided speed limit sign on Soul Circle. And there's a second by Mr. James Talbot. Okay. Any further discussion?
Further. I guess just to ask Chief, so what was your need, what could we get information-wise from the prosecutor that would answer any further issues that we may have by doing this?
I was just going to get clarification on the ordinance, because on the ordinance, section 12.02.004, under A1, it specifically names Franklin Street from 600 feet north of Pine Street to 400 feet south of Pine Street, and then under section 2, it says all residential streets. Okay. I mean, we have residential streets that have posted speed limit signs that are greater than 25, and some that are lower.
Mm-hmm. What is the first part? What does the first part say?
I just wanted to get clarification to make sure that if there's a blanket statement that says all residential streets, to make sure that's legally enforceable and, you know, without signs.
What does the first part of that say? Doesn't it say where it talks about the 25? Above the...
It said under A, a speed zone of 25 miles per hour is established for all of the following.
Okay.
And then it specifically names Franklin, and then under that says all residential streets.
Well, there is a property there because they had a daycare there, a school.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Why.
So if we can do 25 without having public speed limits, which I don't think we can under Texas law, but if the prosecutor says we can, you know, if the municipality, you know, because he's an expert on all the municipalities,
laws, so if we can do that, then we may have to
individually name what street,
yes.
Instead of just saying all residential streets, we may have to individually name what street.
Okay, but you'll check on that and get back
yes.
with us, okay.
Because we do know that Third Street is not residential, that's
state.
Right.
Right. Okay, Ms. Owens, wait, Mr. Fowler has the floor.
Just to clarify, by posting a sign, we negate this whether or not it's enforceable issue. That issue is in the ordinance, correct?
Possibly.
Yes, sir. That is within, and then we might possibly need to revise the ordinance. But as far as us posting a sign, then we've got a legal sign there, and it's enforceable.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's what I wanted to be sure we didn't need anything further from the prosecutor to bless what we're doing here.
Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, whatever
we determine to do that is be on force school and that sometimes, you know, we make a
sacrifice,
you know, we're covered.
Right now, we're in
the
sold circle.
Yes, ma'am, that was your motion. That's okay, so there was a motion and a second.
Ms. Jean had something to say.
Jean Sprouse.
We can't do the Mac and Ranch and all the road.
Well, we're just talking about sold circle
right
now.
That way, he's
going to sacrifice
attention because most of the factories, most of the road is county.
Yes, but we're just talking about the city.
But you can't post it in that portion of the city.
Right, but
on those streets.
You go 30 and then you go 25 feet to 25 miles an hour.
Correct.
Then they're going to speed up before they get out of this one.
Right.
I deal with that going home every day.
Yep.
In Franklin.
No, sure.
They do the same thing I ever have.
So there's a motion on the floor and a second to put a 25 mile hour double sided speed limit sign on Soul Circle. All in favor? Motion carried 5-0.
Down Franklin Road, where I live on, where the curve is, where it's 20 and then 25, I'm wondering if we can get a little river speed light. You know,
that says, well, he's been coming after a step for a while.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I will move to item four, the Water Department report from Jean Sprouse.
Yeah. The only thing I got is about the project. We got people wondering about the block that Holy Road, Black Coffee. And engineers, you know, recommended that a fire hydrant be put at the corner of Soul Circle. There are four on Soul Circle, but it's at the corner where it tees off and then all the way around. So the people, the developer, paid for the fire hydrant and paid for our labor to do it. The reason I put it on there is because it's over $2,000 and I didn't want to build it. Get stuff, you know, they're grateful, and go through the city and get out the check for $2,400, you know, I'm going to make it aware.
He's already paid this $5,320.40, yeah. So we just using his money, in other
words. Right. Okay. But I want to make y'all aware,
yeah. Okay.
Why I had that expense.
Okay.
Thank you, Dean.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's paying us to put it in.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we will go ahead and make a motion and make it official to approve that.
I'll make a motion to approve the 620.
Okay. Okay. All right, so there's a motion on the floor of Mr. Fowler. And to approve the for $5,320.40 to put a fire hydrant at Old Moody Road and Soul Circle, which has already been paid in full by the property owner and seconded by Mr. Griffin. All in favor? Motion carried 5-0. Okay, now we have the engineer, our engineer report, item 5 of Mr. Johnny Taylor.
Under item A, update on the sewer project.
Yes, sir.
We've been waiting on the CCQ and USDA rural development to release the review of our
Jane? Would y'all mind stepping outside and talking, please? We can't hear an engineer. Thank you.
As of today, the city is waiting on USDA, rural development, and TCEQ to review and approve your wastewater system documents.
So you said to me?
Yes, sir. The,
I'm waiting 40 something years.
Yeah, it's been quite a celebration.
It's all right. Sorry about that, Art.
So you're up to date. I shipped PCEQ's documents to them yesterday, by FedEx, and I have the receipts from FedEx. They arrived both at the local regional office and the office office. And then I hand-delivered to Terry Chenoweth, the USDA Rural Development documents today at about 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And, the total set of plans, including all of the contracts, is about 250 plan sheets. The specifications for all of them together is about 400 plans. That's about $400. So, it's about that high stack for each set. So, we're waiting on you. That's all I can say.
Okay.
You make that the full length, 30 to 60 days?
Yeah, I
45, 60 days.
Yeah, something like that. 45, 60 days. We'll just see if they come back with some things that they want, and we'll be sending them to them as they request them. USDA Rural Development is done mostly at Ms. Chenoweth's level. She's mostly going to be reviewing the contract documents, which are the ones that we had a set of documents ready to go, and then they came in. Reviewed all of their documents, so we had to go back through and redo all of them, and it wasn't like we could replace them with this, it's like we had to go through sheet by sheet to make changes to all those contracts. So, but that's all done. So we're waiting on her. Now when she gets through with it, she will ship them to Temple, to the state office, and then the state office engineers review the contract documents.
Do we have any idea about a timeline about when they might get it reviewed? Okay. So what happens? What happens after TCEQ and USDA review them and their approval?
They will authorize us to take bids, provided the city has all of the other things done that have to be done. There are some other things. You have to have bond ordinances in place. You have to have that list of things. It was all on the letter of condition.
Yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Miss Owen.
Can we go ahead and get those other things in order to get them started?
Or are you already going? I think most of them are already started.
Okay, and shaking her head, yes.
So I think most of those are already started.
Okay, so they have the list of what we need to have.
Hopefully during this 45-day, 60-day review time, then all the other list of items can be tended to, put in order, so as soon as we get it, then ultimately, we're waiting on authority from USDA Rural Development to say, you can take the.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Pam, are we working on that stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Or else she calls.
Yeah. Thank you. And then on item B is council to review and consider approving the preliminary and final plat submitted by JBS Residential LLC, and I do have an email from Mr. Tabor showing that I have reviewed the preliminary plat submitted by JBS Residential LLC, lots 1, 2, block 1-J, Henry Edition, above reference. Preliminary plat complies with the City of Bruce Landing subdivision ordinance. And then on the final plat, again, an email from Mr. Tabor saying that he will not have time to review the final plat before the May 13th because my staff and I are finalizing the sewer plans and specs, Smith, TCEQ, and USDA. But again, the council can approve without my review. And that's just basically making one parcel of land into two. Is that correct?
That's right.
And
this the one that has
the fire? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In other words, that's the difference between the preliminary and the final one
that he's
submitted.
Yes. All right. Well, no.
No.
The preliminary plat has
This is a preliminary plat here.
Elevations of it, has the location of the existing house on it, and has the boundaries of, general boundaries of the property set.
Yes.
And that's not a document that you file at the county for deed.
So we can.
Final plat does not have elevations on it, does not have property lines on it, does not have the fire hydrant proposed on it.
Yes, this is a problem.
It's just changing the land. And that's the document that will go to the county to be filed, and that will be, and it's got to be signed by the city secretary.
So you really need to see this and review this, this final plat?
I don't.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's my question.
Yeah, I'm.
But you're good with this final plat?
I'm not gonna say I'm good with it.
Okay.
But based on the preliminary, I don't particularly see an issue with it.
Okay, you don't see any issue with it?
The reason that we're in this situation is a plat, whether it's preliminary or final, is supposed to be submitted not less than 30 days before, the council.
Yes.
And this one, the final plat is not. So I was just in a dilemma. I was working, we were working long hours. I couldn't go through it and do that when your ordinance said you got 30 days.
Yes, yes.
But my point is, I don't see any big issue with this.
Okay.
I haven't reviewed it, but I don't see it, I really don't see a big issue with it, and it's certainly within the authority of the council. There's some reason to.
When did?
Preliminary plat, no, that's the next meeting on the file.
The only issue with that is, might be the 30 days. Are we gonna be out of 30? You have to take action in 30 days.
Right.
Unless.
This is.
Either approve it, or.
Yeah, well, I think we're gonna be out, the date on this is, the date on this final is April the 20th.
We're gonna be out of the next meeting.
I'm sorry?
The sample that is of it.
Oh, it says, okay, that's when you received it was May the 1st.
We gonna meet the 27th, I think.
May 10th.
Yeah, right, no, May 10th, you're right.
You really got it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow, what in the world? That's not thunder.
Somebody.
Can.
Run off the bridge,
So when you gonna meet next?
May the 27th. Are you gonna be available?
We got it on the 10th.
May, it says we received May the 10th.
I'll have time to review it before then, send you the letter.
Okay.
Okay, so then we can take it up at our May the 27th meeting.
Yeah. That is the, technically, the correct way to do it.
Okay, all right, so we don't need to really take any action.
No action at all.
Or you don't need, you have to approve the preliminary.
No.
No.
You have to approve the preliminary, because it was on the final. So my recommendation here would be you approve.
Approve the preliminary.
And you raise it.
Yeah, it was saved April the 21st, yeah.
I'll make the most approved preliminary plat.
We still have a time.
But all the agenda is the preliminary and final.
Well, yeah, but we're just gonna take action on one of them.
I think the reason why they were supposed to bring both, they thought they brought both of them in, and they didn't realize that both of them were there.
How much time we got on?
When we had a meeting, they were supposed to have brought both at one time.
We got approved. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Did you get a second?
I didn't.
Okay.
I'm going to.
No, he didn't.
I started to.
I'm sorry.
Preliminary plat, two to nine.
Well, it was amended on the 10th.
Yeah, okay, but it says, so we can just act on the preliminary plat of Ms. Wiggins.
Where is the property located? Not on the agenda.
Right across from Soul Circle on Old Moody Road.
Yes.
Right.
On the corner of Alicia.
Lane, Old Moody Road, across from Soul Circle.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve the preliminary plat.
Okay, have a motion on the floor from Mr. Talbert to approve the preliminary plat, and the date on it, we received it, was April the 21st, so we would be out of a time limit if we waited till May the 27th, the next meeting.
I'll second it.
Okay, and we have a second by Mr. Griffin.
I have a question.
And discussion, Mr. Fowler.
Yeah, I know on Moody, the water line is across the road from this property.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the Elisa Lane side, where does the water service line, where is it?
Well, there's only one of these lots that will be bordering on Lisa Lane, I think.
Yes.
That is facing Lisa Lane. There's already a house there.
Yes.
And it already has a water meter.
But then it's not a six on that side of the road anyway. It's just on Old Moody Road.
Right. So there is a smaller water line that's on Lisa. I don't know if that's where it's settling off Gene's job.
It's a 10-foot easement, that's what I'm guessing. I'm sorry, we've got a 10-foot easement.
Utility easement, yeah.
Utility easement, it's on the preliminary, so there's a water line on the other side of the road from there. You understand what I'm asking?
I think so.
I'm asking if the water line is on the subject property side of the road. It's the water line runs on that, it's a 10-foot easement, okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least it is, it's on that side.
Okay.
Well,
but they probably going to be served off Old Moody Road, but I don't know that.
Well, they will be able to get water on this part. Okay.
For the
lot one.
The lot one has a house on it.
No, lot two has a house, and lot one doesn't have
that. Okay, so lot two already has water.
Yes, but lot one doesn't. But they will be able to, correct?
And they will have to come across the road to the pile to the 16
inch. Okay. So it won't be no problem for whoever buys that lot for them to get one. Okay. Okay, so there's a motion on the floor and a second. Is there any other discussion? Okay. All in favor? Unanimous to approve the preliminary plat. Submitted by JBS Residential LLC.
Yeah, not to approve the plat.
The preliminary plat.
Yes.
Yes. And we're going to table the final plat until our May 27th meeting.
If I need a motion on that too.
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Dawbert made a motion to table the final plat submitted, okay, by JBS Residential and seconded by Ms. Owens. All in favor? Unanimous? I don't know. Okay, and then item 5C is council to discuss and review three different routing options to install James Kellogg's water meter. Mr. Taylor?
We did a plan for this water service that would connect at the same point that all three of the proposals on this page are showing. And instead of going parallel to Western Trail, we would cut through in the shortest route in an easement that is noted on the drawings. And continue back to connect to the same place that the red line connects, okay? And that's the one that came in inordinately high, and the reason is...
The red line is the one that came in?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I said.
Okay.
If you go back to where all three of those lines start, okay?
Yes, sir.
And you leave the street, and you go, you angle between those two properties, okay? It's not shown on here.
Okay.
Between the two properties, you go to the back line of the property, and then you begin approaching the red line that is option A, okay?
Okay.
So the route that we did was that angle, and then we extended it toward the red line. And then it was the same for the red line all the way to the point where we tied to the 6-inch line that's already there. Okay? So, let me make sure we're all on the same page.
what we took bids on is, what we took bids on was coming down this way, right here, and coming this way until we got to the line. I'll bring it over here.
Okay.
So what we took bids on is tying right here, coming down this way, coming across, and tying in here.
Okay.
It's not shown on here.
And tying in where?
Yeah, we're going to tie in. Yeah, it goes here, go all the way down to right here.
Okay.
This line is the existing city line.
Okay.
That's what we originally did. That
was the original.
Yeah. And all of this area along that route, from the point of beginning to the ending point, is right up next to a privacy fence.
Okay.
Okay. So the contractors that did it said that we're going to have to take down the whole privacy fence, and then we're going to have to build it back, and they only had 10 foot to work. So that's all the easy is. So that became a lot of hand work, a lot of small equipment work, increased the cost. So the alternates that we looked at were the ones that are on this page. And I think Pam has approached the landowner about possible easements across their property. Is that fair?
Yes. She buys one and then she took it back because she wants us to come in first and show her where the lines would run in her property.
Okay.
So we want the body physically to come in.
Okay. All of the easements that we're looking at so far, the original route, the alternate route A, which is in red.
Okay.
And the alternate route B, which is in blue, are all in a 10-foot easement. That's all that's there on the plat. So the benefit of using these is that there is no fences there, except on the back line. So if the landowner allowed us to expand the easement to a regular 20-foot utility easement, then we could do these routes. And they are certainly shorter than the green
one. So are we going to be trying to take 10 more foot into Mr. Fowler's property? Or is that going to be trying to get
Fowler
into Mr. Fowler's property?
Into the Fowler.
Into the Fowler area.
And the reason is because this property right here, this odd-shaped kind of triangular-looking property, has privacy fence all the way around it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
But,
so, option A and option B would really only work if the landowner is willing to allow us additional easement here that will grant an easement for us to do that. The third option, C, is technically does not require the landowner to grant us an easement because the green line goes from the circle right here back to your water line.
Yes, sir.
It's 20-foot wide. Now, it was dedicated with the plat. But that goes right beside the house. So, we probably need to go out and talk to the lady and see which way she would allow us. And we have, and I'm not legal counsel, I have to read what I found on the plat. The plat shows that there's a 20-foot easement right beside the house. But that will put it right through, right next to the house and between the house and the rest of the property there.
So what do you think? Maybe we can expand that easement there and get away from the house?
Well, we don't need, we might could do that, but the big question is, if you can't get an easement, okay, she says, I'm not signing the easement, he says, I'm not signing the easement, there still is this option. But it won't be very palatable to the homeowner.
Okay.
Well, what's the difference between, because what they had and what you give an estimate on was $20,000, right?
Right.
Okay. Now we're, and that was 450 feet, mm-hmm. and it comes back 45,000,
right?
Now, where is that at? Where's that at on here? Where did they do that?
That's your line right here. The $45,000 bid is going right down here and right down here.
Well, that, isn't that more than 450 feet?
No.
It's not?
It's not.
Okay.
You get all but then you got all the pits you got to take down and put back up.
But we didn't know that before?
We did, but that was the shortest route. And there was an easement there. But the privacy fence killed it.
So you're thinking that this option C, you're thinking that this option C is going to be cheaper than that $45,000?
Yes. And the reason is because in order to dig a ditch, take the excavated material, put it on the side of the ditch, and haul what out of offer that you have to, put the pipe in the ditch, bring in bedding material, put down the pipe, get the pipe put in place, put the material back in, you can't do in 10 feet unless you use really small equipment,
right.
and you go in on the route that you stay on the route that you came in.
Well, I guess I'm having trouble is why did we do that in the first place?
Because it wasn't the shortest route. I mean, it wasn't the shortest
route. It was the shortest route, but it was evidently the hardest route.
It was.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
so okay. Right. But so now, I mean, they've already paid for that engineering fee and study. And now, if we do option C, we're going to have to put bids out again. You're going to want them to pay again?
So you want to move in and include all the discussion?
I thought we were talking.
So do you want to move in to item number six?
I'm still talking about item number three. And if we do a different option, and I'm just trying to say here that because they paid for this first option, okay? They've been the pillows, paid for the first option. And now, if we want them to do options, and obviously the first option came in $25,000 over the estimates, which is crazy.
Have you bought plywood lately?
Well, and, yeah, but Johnny, we should have known that. I mean, we should have known that. If it was $25,000, that's one thing. The $25,000, you know, that's a lot. You know, and I'm just saying that. And now we're saying, well, I think option C would be better because it's cheaper.
Let's just back up. I'm gonna refund the city what I've been paid for this. We'll start again. Do it any way you want to.
Okay.
So whatever they paid, they won't have paid it when I'm done.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say, where everybody's clear on this, you're willing to reimburse the city that $2,300 and that's what they pay?
No.
Okay.
I'm willing to reimburse what I've been paid. I have not been paid $2,300.
Fund includes, you know, the advertising for bids, everything to get to the point where we found out it was a $45,000 job. So, I mean, I think we, I like the thought of being able to start over. I mean, we do have the other item on the agenda where the applicants have requested a refund. I guess we'll address it, you know, when we're talking about that.
Yeah,
but that would be a clean way to do this. And it sounds like we also need to have conversation with the landowners that would be involved in this reroute, you know, as far as whether or not they'd be willing to, you know, add additional easement. So, I don't think there's anything for us to...
I believe we're here, Mr. Fowler.
I don't believe there's anything on this item that we can take action on 5C.
No, I don't take no action. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood it.
Yes.
Right. That's all I'm trying to
do. Because everybody may not want to do this at all.
Right. So right. Okay.
That's all. I just think we can resolve it.
Mr. Stewart?
James Stewart, I thought you said funny. I got a question about the atmosphere of two signature pipes together. Because before, it was an inch by the water storage, and we think that they had 200 gallons for water storage per liter at that meeting. Would we tie in two signature lines? We were going to up the pressure, and maybe a lot more people would benefit off of it, not just harsh. That's 100,000 gallons, you get paid for a month. It's not just us getting the water here. I mean, a lot more people are going to help on this upgrade. And I'm not sure that we should carry the whole load of that cost if more people are going to benefit.
Sure, you should as well.
Mr. Tabor, you comment? Oh, I'm sorry.
My question is, the original conversation that was agreed upon in that council meeting was not the plan that we're given. It was, I went back and looked at the recording. When we talked about payment upgrade, it was for a 10-inch line down both of these roads. It was our pressure up there, where we support that additional meter. And that had nothing to do with, I mean, and we're taking care of it, it's going to be $25. This plan is totally different than what we talked about in that. When we talked about payment upgrade, it's really different. And I'm sorry, but at that point, if you're an engineer, you ought to know that is going to cost more than $20,000. I mean, worst case scenario, having to do what you went out and did is going to cost way more than $20,000. I've looked at the material for $17,000.
Okay. Mr. Tabor?
I've looked at 5 or 6 options as to how we can serve. Get water to this one meter.
Okay.
With no intent to improve anything else in the system. I looked at first seeing if we could run a bigger line up Robin Road. What's that road? Comes off.
Box Ranch.
And any building is running there. From Box Ranch up the Roman Road.
Long way.
It's crazy high. I won't even tell you what the number is. But I looked at that first because that was the way that I could do it where everybody would understand we're doing an improvement just for the applicant to get water to this location. And it was 200,000 plus. So, and I said, we've had a number of applications for water off of Old Bethany Road, and we have found that there's a 10-inch that can be extended to pick up the pressure to serve additional meters.
And so I looked at that. The difference is, this was 450 feet. It will take 750 feet of 10 inch with a couple of road crossings to get the same level of pressure to the top of that hill, which is the 10 inch I was talking about. Because I've done three of them. When I was on the phone, I didn't have that stuff right in front of me of what we did. My recollection was, it's the 10 inch. I went back and looked at it. Of the three that we did, the one that was the most cost effective, the benefit of the 1 meter, was this, the one that's proposed. Shortest route. So that's what I put out to be. But I do recall in the conversation that there was a question that Mr. Williams asked. It said, well, what if it's more than this? Are you willing to pay? The answer was yes, sir.
That's correct.
So I will let you have your time to speak when I get through, and I will get up the floor for you. So I did the best I could with what I had to work with. That is a really difficult place to get service to. I wasn't looking to get more service up there except for 1 meter. And this plan that I presented will get 1 meter at the top of that hill. It won't get 5 or 6. It won't get 2 or 3.
No.
It will get 1 meter.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Thank you. What was the 1 meter study for? Because is it just an arbitrary number that you throw out there? I mean, supposedly there was this 1 meter study done, and it would have all the TSI calculations based on the master meter based calibration, and that was going to be a $20,000 upgrade. That tells me you really didn't do a 1 meter study. You really didn't look at that very hard if that's what you came up with, and then all of a sudden it could be that plan is not even able to be done based on what you're saying. We got to do a whole other route.
Okay.
The analysis I do is based on is a model of the entire system of the regional aid water. And I plug in the new meter to where the meter's requested. And I run the simulation to see what it does. If it lowers the pressure of any other meter, then we start looking at improvements that have to be made to do that. Now, the city has the analysis that was done last time it was done. It's huge. The file is huge. If I printed that out, it would be another one of those stacks about this big that you probably couldn't get through. And you wouldn't need to, because they're not done just to say, gee, I think it's going to be this. It is calculated values. I'll admit to you that the cost of it was more than I expected. It has a lot to do with the amount of fences that were in the way. So, but the route that's proposed is the most cost effective to do and get that meter. The other thing is the issue over 200 gallons. I don't remember having any discussion, nor have I noticed it in the recording that I listened to, because the meters don't really depend on 200 gallons except for storage at the plant site. What they depend on is that you can flow all the meters all at one time, 1.5 gallons a minute, there's nobody less than 35 PSI. So when I hit the button and it does all the calculations, it is using 1.5 gallons a minute to every meter all at the same time, and I look at the pressures that they have. Because if somebody is in a location where their pressure is 20 PSI, they're going to be calling DCEQ. And then you're going to have to do something in emergency. So whatever's put in, whether it's 1 meter or 50 meters, it needs to be designed where it can meet the demand when they turn the faucets on.
Yeah. and he got up there and put his water system to 2017. So we're basing every water meter spent on this. It's budget in your report based on 2017. The water data, the meter calibration data. And the whole system has had upgrades done to it since then. So when you just run in randomly through the whole system, you're not taking into consideration that there have been upgrades done to the water system. How is that accurate? How is it accurate once you are giving us back? Because it's not.
If you would like to have an engineer come to my office, I'll show him exactly what I did and how I did it. But to clear up the issue,
okay.
I know there have been improvements in the system. Those are not shown on your 2017 analysis because it's our history. But I put those in my hydraulic analysis, just like I do the meter applicants that I put in that have no cost. They're going to add the meter, the subdivisions that come in, they pay for their improvements, they're going to get their meters. Those are in the calculation.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Talbert?
In this situation, it's very tenuous. It has to cost that kind of money to get a meter, to get water service. I'm familiar. Best I can with this. I've got a lot of experience in years, but I'm not an engineer, but I can figure what he's proposing, and I don't have a clue what it's going to cost. It's a very tenuous situation at best that you can get a meter out of it. It costs for 1 or 2 or 3 pounds, maybe. Maybe wrong, if I'm wrong, needs correcting. To be legal to get you a meter, it's not going to up it to 18 pounds. It's just not going to happen the way it goes through there. Am I wrong, Mr. Saber?
No.
Huh? Right. It's very tenuous, is it not?
It's a little line, top of the hill.
And I think that you said in one of the studies you did here, maybe they went out 37, 38 pounds, somewhere in there. It's not much more than that. So I'm just telling you, to me, it's ridiculous to have to spend that kind of money, but that's not my money. But it's a very tedious thing to what he's doing. The other way, if we're going to be so cost for it, nobody can do it. So I'm not taking sides, I'm just giving you an opinion of mathematical facts. Okay? And that's the truth. Because we can, liars figure, but figures don't lie. But in peak usage and all kinds of things up here, and it goes all the way in the back door and comes down through Ranch Crest and all around and up the top of that hill. I've been up there at 10 o'clock at night, took pressures, I could. But I don't know if we used the words, but it wasn't much water coming out the top of them houses that was very front. Now, when they did the booster stations and moved it around there and cut it off from West Ridge and pumped it in that way and improved it 10 inch extension, it did tremendous things. But where y'all are, I feel for you. I feel for you. But it's this is not a real solving problem long term for that road. Thank
sure.
you, sir, for letting me have my say.
Okay, so, as item 6 says, does the council...
We still don't have 5C.
I would move to
6.
Well,
conversation
with
me, but I think
we can't have a
conversation
with there. Yeah, we would move to 6. Okay. So, on 6 there is, on 5C there's not. So, on item 6, council to discuss and consider refunding the $2,300 engineer fee to James and Susie Stewart. They're requesting a complete refund of the $2,300 engineering fee paid because Ms. Taylor did not complete plan for the agreed on 10-inch line extension on Old Bethany Road. So, Mr. Talbert,
again, that's not the city's money. That's paid to the city to pay Mr. Taylor for his fee. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's not the city's business. That's Mr. Taylor's.
Well, as Mr. Tabor stated, he would forego his fee.
He ain't said nothing yet. I'm still speaking, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's my opinion. Because we can do the work, but we're a utility, so it has to come to us to be able to give you service.
based on the engineer's report, and him being paid for his work. So, to me, that's not the city's job to refund the commercial taker. He's a big man, he's been willing to clean. But that's my opinion, as far as my opinion on the city.
Mr. Tabor, as you stated, and Pam, we have not paid, the $2,300 paid was by Mr. James and Sue Stewart, well, that was paid to you, our city?
Paid to the city.
Okay, did the city pay all that money to Johnny yet? Okay. And Johnny, you stated that you would refund the money that the city has paid you so far on this project to the city, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the city will be the rest of it.
Yeah, Mark, Mr. Fowler?
Thank you. Further clarify. Of the $2,300, have any of that $2,300 been spent?
Yes.
For advertising bids?
No.
What was it spent for?
Well, there was a, probably the advertising thing. And then, about 80% was Johnny's invoice for.
Okay.
$840,
I know that.
I know it's 20% to give back to the staff.
So, well, I would, at the council meeting where we worked out this direction to proceed to try to get a meter for the stewards. At that meeting, we all expected, and the stewards as well, that we'd come in somewhere around the $20,000 figure. And not only that, but it was mentioned that we as a city, Johnny as our representative, felt that we'd come in maybe below that. I hadn't listened to the recording, but I do recall that. So the fact that anybody is considering paying $20,000 to get a water meter tells me they're very desperate to get a water meter, and I appreciate that. I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation, but anyway, that's the situation you're in. So, but I don't think going into it, any of us, Johnny included, expected to come in where it came from. And we just, maybe we miscalculated, maybe we underestimated, but whatever we did, it was the city, and our engineer that we came up with a fix. So if it was me and Ziggy, I'd want to back out of the beat, in other words. And so I'd be asking the same, maybe the same question making, but only to say, Johnny, as well as the city, in trying to make this happen for you, we've all acted in good faith. There's no one that has been going to any efforts to prevent anybody from getting water meter. It's been just exactly the opposite. So, but because it was such a bad miss as far as what we anticipated, I would be in favor of refunding the stewards their $2,300, and I hope, you know, that if that's what we decide to do, that we can all of us start out with a clean slate and start trying to tackle this project, you know, and see if we can get it done. So anyway, I feel like it's a fair request, and but again, I don't think anybody's done anything but try to get you a water meter.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fowler. I have something. Pam, in Round City, it was out of that $2,300, $1,840 was somewhere around there, rough estimate, yes, paid to you.
Yes.
Okay, so the remainder of that money, if we still have it, right?
We still have
it.
What else did
it
go for? You know?
It would have been, if it went for anything, it would have been advertising.
Right.
particular list, but I don't think that was in. Usually that comes out when you do like a total bid, but at the end, saying like if it was 20,000, we weren't paying.
But we had to pay that, or the city had to pay that, somebody had to pay that advertised.
Yeah, somebody paid that.
Didn't pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and we don't know how much that is.
So, where we took away the county park from the 23 and we
thought. Okay, but we still have all that.
The notes that I have on the advertisement cost was $264.58.
Yes, sir, Mr. Griffin.
I'm saying if Mr. Taylor's willing to kick in his part, we pay the rest of it and get it done.
Okay, is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make that motion.
I see. Okay, well, tell me your motion.
My motion is if Mr. Taylor kicks in what the city's paid him, then we pay what's left out of the $2,300 and give their money back. That's my motion. So we'd be paying $460.
Now, okay, with the understanding now, this that $264.58 the city will have to eat. Is that what, I mean, I just want to be clear on your motion.
That's my motion.
Okay, okay, so we have a motion on the floor from Mr. Griffin to that the Okay, so let's take the 20. Okay. Was there a motion on the floor? Do you want to amend your motion?
No, I don't. No. Let's give them their money.
But even the advertisement fee.
Even the advertisement fee.
And there's a motion on the floor by Mr. Griffin to refund the full $2,300 to Mr. James and Susie Stewart.
If Mr. Taylor keeps in his money.
Yeah. Yeah, provided Mr. Taylor, and he said he did, was going to reimburse the city $1,840, whatever that.
Mark seconded.
And Mark, Mr. Fowler seconded. Now, any discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Dobbs.
I'm in favor of that, but I would prefer that we not even advertise it. But I could not be in favor of it unless Mr. Taylor was willing to give his money back, because he's the one that earned it, he's the one that got the money, it's about the secrets. But if he wants to do that, I'm in favor. But when we're doing this, you're setting the precedent here. I just want to see the city council understand it. That's all I want to say.
Okay. For the most, any other discussion? There's no other discussion? And let's have a vote. Okay, we're voting for to reimburse Mr. James and Susie Stewart $2,300. All for that?
If Mr. Taylor keeps it.
Yes, if Mr. Taylor reimburses us his fees. All in favor?
No black, you put up with
it. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. That was my
message. Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Thank y'all, Mr. Stewart, for coming and hearing your concerns. I hope we can get it fixed. Okay. All right.
Can we formulate this item? I mean, can we fit it back to item 5C and decide?
We don't know if they're going to want to do it.
I think we'll have to put that on the agenda for next meeting. They might want to have it on there. I'm not sure what they want to do.
So we just need to table it up.
Okay, let's move table it to next meeting. Okay. Item number 7 is citizen presentation. So at this time, the City Council welcomes public comments at this point on items not specifically listed on the agenda. Speakers must sign up before the meeting begins. Speakers are limited to 5 minutes each. The council cannot respond to matters not listed on the agenda until a future meeting. Citizens who wish to make public comments are asked to please email Pam Combs at BruceLeddy.us by 4 p.m. on Thursday, May 13th, 2021, Central Standard Time. Ms. Combs will read citizen comments during this meeting. Do you have any?
No.
And we don't have any. Okay, item number 8. Council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action allowing Dorothy Coker to use city property located on Anna Hobbs for her cattle to graze. Ms. Coker requested to present this item to the council. Ms. Coker, are you available? Yes, ma'am. Thank you for coming, Johnny. Yes.
Thank y'all for coming too, to you.
Yes, thank y'all. Okay. I'm sorry, Ms. Coker.
I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
The land is the low water land where the old thing was put in the park.
Yes, ma'am.
But now there's nothing on that. So I was wondering about trying to fence it in and just allowing my cows to graze there until y'all get to where you want to build the park.
This is the land where the city owns.
Yes. Yes, 35 acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as you stated, you would have to build a fence because it's not fenced, from my understanding.
Yes.
It's only fenced on three sides.
Yes.
Okay.
And I would maintain, what the cattle do not graze, I will stretch it.
Okay.
Okay.
And you're willing, from what I'm hearing you're willing to build the fence?
Yes.
And incur all costs of the fence? Okay.
Yes.
Ms. Owens?
I don't see anything wrong with that, especially since you're going to be, what the town zone is, that you're going to be shredding it down. That keeps the expense of the city from going out there and shredding it and keeping it maintained, during this type of water and stuff that we're having and all the growth.
I don't think the city's ever shredded it once.
Well, they're supposed to, but still, I'm just saying.
I was going to say,
Mr. Fowler?
I'd just like to raise the issue of, to do this, we have to enter into some kind of a contract. We also have to consider liability issues. Get out of the fence or something, and it's from...
That would be my liability.
Well, not necessarily. Anyway, I just raised that up as a possibility of what we may want to consider. I'd be hesitant about it, just for those reasons.
I agree with Mr. Fowler. I think we'd need a contract on that, fully stating that you're willing to build and pay for all the fence, incur any and all cost, and you accept all responsibility and liability for that. I believe Mr. Thomas was next.
The only thing about that, it's like you're going into automotive competition, not the spot the fire pit, the same thing, no water. So, this may be the same thing. I would suggest that we, as much as I don't like it, consult counsel before we do this, because of the legal liability issue of the problem. That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
Okay. Ms. Owens?
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
How many head of cattle are you thinking about doing that area? I don't know how big that area is.
She said it's 35 to 40 acres.
40 acres.
No. No, not what was right behind you. That's the whole... You talking about that whole big field that goes against the...
She wants to put a fence on all that.
Oh.
Jesus.
How many head of cattle?
I have 5 cows now, 1 pregnant.
You don't know what that fence is going to cost you, lady.
Oh, I do.
Okay, for 5 head?
For 5 head of cattle.
That's our call.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Stewart.
I might want to look at the codes before anything is done like that, because the animals have to be a certain species of way out of how it ends up.
Thank you.
Well, most of the people, I've already went through the acres. Most people have, all the people have their own fence.
I think he's talking about that hogs and things there.
Yeah, that's hogs. They have their own fencing behind there. So
I have a question.
Stand by, ma'am. On the phone.
I will come up from their fence and keep my animals away from their fence. Is that property in the city limits? Yes.
Yes.
And that will be in the limits. How many cows or acres do we
have? Well, there are no roads on it.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Well, my cows run up to my fence, got them in my house.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We have somebody on the phone that's wanting to speak.
Yes, sir, Mr. Talbert, this is Mavis. Is that property in the city limits or outside?
Inside
the city limits, ladies.
And secondly, if it's owned by the city, it's owned by the people, so wouldn't it need a public hearing because you have residents, if a car gets out on that road, or, you know, there's other issues and liabilities there, but I believe the people should have a voice before the city leases land.
Okay.
That capacity would be linked or goes into a contract.
Okay. We'll check that under advisement. Anything else, Mavis?
No, that'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I make a motion we table this till we can research this and talk with legal counsel. Well, I didn't know she was talking about the whole 40-something there. I thought she was just talking about those few acres.
I want the 5 acres right behind.
That's part of the 40-something, all of it.
Well, but 5 acres is individually.
I know, but it's not fenced separate.
It joins
the other property.
Nope.
Mr. Talbert, it has a fence that blocks it from
There's an opening back there. I drove through it.
They opened it?
Just believe me, man.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to table this by Mr. Talbert, to table it until the city can speak with our legal counsel about this. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Griffin. All in favor? Unanimous. We'll table it and speak with our legal counsel and then get back with you, ma'am.
So I don't want another opinion.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, on the next item, Miss Coker requested the following item to be on tonight's agenda. Council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on code enforcement at the home of Dorothy Coker, 843 West 3rd Street. Ms. Coker requested to present this item to the council. Given that Ms. Coker has a pending code violation ticket pending, it is improper for the city council to comment, discuss, evaluate, or take any position with respect to the specific charges against Ms. Dorothy Coker. Further, anything that Ms. Coker states at this meeting
can be used against her with respect to the charges against her. Ms. Dorothy Coker may speak, but she has been warned. You have been warned of your rights, ma'am. And I would advise the council to listen to her and make no comment.
That's what I'm saying.
No, ma'am, this is about the code enforcement we're talking about here.
And I'm not going to even, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm there and I'm
going to discuss. Okay, no discussion. Okay. Okay, now, item number 10A, council to discuss, consider, and possibly approve minutes from April 22nd, 2021, regular council meeting. Does anybody have anything?
I can make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Fowler?
That we approve the minutes from the April 22nd, 2021, regular council meeting.
And workshop?
And workshop.
I second it. Okay, there's a motion made on floor by Mr. Fowler that said we accept the minutes for the April 22nd, 2021 city council meeting and workshop. Motion been seconded by Mr. Cecil Griffin. All in favor? All for. Okay, that completes it. So at this time, is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Ms. Owens make a motion that meeting is adjourned and seconded by Mr. Talbert. All in favor? This meeting is adjourned at 8:18 p.m. Thank y'all for coming.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. That's another big thing I've seen.
Good meeting.
Thank you, Mavis.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah, can you turn that off? Stick your phone up and hang it. There you go. There you go.
That's right. It?
Everything?
Well done.
And
maybe make it on the team.
Thank you.